Welcome to the first in the series of 4-H podcasts, Real Talk with 4-H. I'm your host, Karel McCormack, Public Relations and Marketing Manager of the Jamaica 4-H Clubs, and with me is Topaz Barrett, 4-H Clubite of the Westwood High School in Trelawney. Welcome, Topaz, and thank you for being my co-host today.
My pleasure.
I'm just so happy to have you as my co-host today. Before we get into the meat of things, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Okay, sure. So as I said before, my name is Rick, and I am currently in grade 8, but will be grade 9 this September. So as for my experience in 4-H club, I was a 4-H clubite in primary school, actually, and I thought I'd just carry that on. And for my goals as a 4-H member is really just to reach people. I want to encourage people to do the same thing we are doing. I realize that we're trying. I think that's really what it's about, trying to reach people just like me, people who are 13 years old, and just youth in general. And so I'm really excited for what we do in this club and what company as a club. And that's really what I'm
doing. Okay, Topaz. So that's a lot to learn about you, but I'm very happy that you're an active 4-H-er. And of course, that you have this great interest in the club and encouraging other persons. Just to let you know that we also have, as part of our technical team, Ms. Gibbs, not able to say much right now, but Ms. Gibbs, who is the acting liaison officer for the volunteer secretariat, is also with us. And master control is Mr. Dean Collins, our IT manager. Now, to your listeners, the youth, 4-H youth and youth in general. This is your program, and we hope that you will enjoy it as we present it to you today, and of course, as soon as other episodes are made available. Now, today is a special edition, as we're pleased to have none other than our newly minted 4-H youth ambassadors, Kristen Chambers of the Manning School in Westmoreland, and Adriana Hill of the Montego Bay High School in St. James. Kristen, Adriana, welcome to you both.
Thank you for having me.
So, Adriana, we're going to start with you. Tell us, how does it feel to be this year's youth ambassador?
I was very shocked. I was, my first time entering. So I didn't really expect to, even come in the top 10. So I was just, just doing the work, learning about 4-H. But honestly, I feel like now it has settled in. I feel very happy and grateful because I know that this is a goal of every 4-H member, to get this high honor. And it's seen as it's my first time entering and that going against clubites that are like much older than me and have more experience. I mean, to come out as a victor, it just feels so amazing.
Okay. So tell us a little bit more about yourself, Adriana. You're from St. James. Where in St. James are you from?
I am from Montego Bay, St. James.
We're going to get into a little bit more about how your 4-H journey began. But Topaz, you should have Kristen with you there. Topaz?
Yes, miss.
So Kristen, Topaz has a similar question for you. All right, so Topaz, over to you.
So Kristen, we would like to hear from you about how does it feel to be this year's youth ambassador?
Honestly, as Jonah Hill said, being the 4-H youth ambassador is almost a dream of every 4-H clubite. So honestly, when I heard my name, I was in shock, but now finally processed it, so I'm really excited as well.
Wonderful. That's nice to hear. I'm sure the listeners love to hear that as well.
So one almost didn't expect it, and the other was in shock. But of course, the shock has worn off now. So I'm going to throw the same questions to you both, and I'm going to start with Adriana. So Adriana, preparation for this competition, both at the parish and the national levels. Tell us, what was that like for you?
Well, firstly, I wasn't going to enter this competition. I was going to enter drafting again for a second year because last year I came first in the parish competition for drafting. But because of COVID, we weren't able to have national. I wanted that redemption. So I was planning to do drafting again this year. But when my club coordinator, Mrs. Garrett, recommended for me to join to enter this competition. So she's the one that really prompted me to enter. And so did my president, Kiara Dunn. She was the one that also motivated me to, you know, do this competition. So after a few, you know, days, I kind of realized that this would be a lot of work. So I had to get my research done. I got a lot of, you know, sleepless nights. So, I mean, even working on the community project was a lot, but I know that it was all worth it at the end.
Okay, so you just mentioned the community project. What was that community project?
So for first challenge, we were to work on a project. And I chose to work on my community field. But because of this whole COVID thing, I wasn't able to do my first idea I had, which was an outreach program. But because of, you know, as I said, you know, my eyes looked onto the field that I live next door to it. And I wondered, you know, how can I change my community? So that was one way I think I could have done that. So right now, the field has been cut down. One of my neighbors have, you know, had the same idea as I had. And, you know, one morning I woke up and I saw the field like almost like leveled down, like cut down. So now we're working together as a community. So with her first step and my first step as well, you know, we have been working together as a community. And now,
so is it that the field, what is it, a beautification project? Do they plant crops there? What exactly is done?
It's a beautification project. So I'm planning to, you know, create a football field because before, I mean, I live in the community of Vogue Village and, you know, every phase has its own field. So whether it's a football field, netball court, whatever, you're allowed to do whatever you want. But I think I would love to put in a field. It's also the community members as well. But I would love to have a football field and like a space for like, you know, like a homework center. And a little park for the little kids to play and, you know, to socialize, to get to know the community members.
Yeah, and may I suggest also to put in a community garden so people can also benefit from reaping crops there as well.
Yes, we do also have a community garden, but it's being used by one of our neighbors. So we're going to, you know, work with them and develop this and use it as a garden for everybody.
Okay. Wonderful. Now over to you, Chris. I have the same question for you. What was it like preparing for this competition?
Preparing for this competition, as Joanna said, the year before I entered the public speaking and I came first for the parish, but I wasn't placed at nationals. And then last year, I decided that I was going to do public speaking again, as Joanna said, just to get a feel of redemption. But that didn't happen because of the COVID-19. So this year I decided that, okay, I'm not going to limit myself. I'm going to try something new. So I went for the youth ambassador. It was very hard because I have to juggle it with my CAPE exam because it's during exam period. So, you know, that's the time I would have to get to prep myself and all that. So I had to set aside some time to do my project. So it was very rough.
Okay, and what was your project?
Well, I did a series of projects because I just couldn't decide. My project was the CSEC Marathon, in which I partnered with the Leo Club of Manning School, and we provided assistance in 12 subjects for the students preparing for the CSEC exam. We had over 100 students registering for those sessions. I tutored in two subjects. I tutored in biology, physical education, and agricultural science. Also, one of my other projects was a school-based assessment program, which I assisted some students with their poultry care SBA, because that was a requirement for their for the completion of their agricultural science CSEC examination. Also, another project was partnering with the Truth 54 Foundation of Westmoreland. This is a foundation that caters to the communities around Westmoreland that are, just for the lack of a better word, they lack the resources or opportunities. So we partnered with them to assist some students from Godfrey Stewart High School, in which we donated 22 computers to assist the students in accessing their online learning, because you know that the pandemic has thrown us in a vast digital world. So I think that was a very good idea.
Boy, you weren't joking when you said you had a series of projects. I mean, a series, that sounds more like a mini-series. Okay, so Topaz, I'm sure you also want to hear something more from Kristen and Adriana, particularly about how they got involved in 4-H. So Topaz, the question is yours.
Yeah, that's it. We want to know, ambassadors, what has your 4-H journey been like? How did you get started? What has the experience been like so far? So you can start out with the first, what has your 4-H journey been like? And maybe Kristen, you can answer this one.
All right, sure. So my 4-H journey began at the Seven Almar Primary School. I was in grade 5. It was an evening where we had lessons, but I think something came up, so I didn't get to attend lessons. So the staff advisor at the time invited me to the club, and I did. And I remember our first activity within that 4-H club was the We were doing embroidery, and we had to make an apron, and then we had to embroider it. And I fell in love from then. Also, in my first year, I was elected the vice president of that 4-H club, which was my first major position within the 4-H.
Well, Joanna, we'd like to hear from you.
So my journey began at Mount Alvernia Prep when I was in the third grade. That was the first time I ever, been to Denby. I went to support my sister, Joanna. She entered public school. So I went there with her, and I saw the ins and outs of, of 4-H. That's the first time I've ever been exposed to the club. So from that day, I, joined the club at school. And then the next year, I transferred to Howard Primary School. So I still stayed active in the club, but the club wasn't very active. But when I passed from Obey High, I made sure 4-H was the first club I entered. And I began to work and get people to join the club and to ensure that, I'm just at the forefront. My goal was to get on the exit by grade 8, which I did. So by grade 8, I was an assistant PO, and now grade 9, going to grade 10, I'm assistant PRO. So my job was basically just to promote the club and to ensure, the school garden, the club's garden was okay. And, I used to stay long hours after school, especially when I went to Mobe High, for 4-H meetings, preparing for achievement day, pre-achievement day. I know you, Kristen, can attest to that. Whenever it's time for those 2 days or a few days that we have to prepare for those competitions, it's very hectic. So that's what, my journey has really been.
Yeah, I can only understand that. I mean, you have to prepare for the big day, I guess. Nice. That's also a very good idea. So back to you, Kristen, with the second question, which is basically the same question. It's in the same category. So how did you get started? I think kind of overlap in what you had.
Right, yeah. So I got started in grade 5. As I said, I was elected the vice president of the Seven Almar Primary School 4-H Club. And I remember in grade 5, I went to Denby that year, and I remember Leshawn Redwood being crowned as the 4-H girl of the back then. Yeah, back then it was the girl of the year, and she attended Manning. So I was really excited, and from then I know that 4-H is something that I want to continue to do.
Okay, thank you. Same question to you, Ryan. So how did you get started?
I got started, as I said, at Mount Alvernia Prep when I was in the third grade. As I went with my sister Juana Denby. I think it was 2016, and I stayed there. I got to walk around what Denby was like. That's when I actually joined the club at my school, and then I transferred.
Okay, thank you. So Kristen, what has the experience been like so far? How do you feel about joining the club and what's in the position since then? Kristen?
It has been a very awesome journey. I can walk and tell anybody that the 4-H club is one of the best clubs ever, I must tell you, not just because of the competition and all that, but the value that they instill within, they are honestly indescribable. When I matriculated to Manning School in first form, as Joanna said, I ensured that 4-H was one of the first clubs that I joined, and I do not regret it.
Same question to you, Joanna. What has the experience been like so far?
It's been very fun. Before 4-H, I wasn't really the one to get my hands dirty. Yeah, very hard. But 4-H has instilled in me you have to work very hard to achieve what you want. And, you know, life, nothing comes to you, like, in your hand. Nothing comes to you, like, you know, give me this, I want it. First taught me I had to work for anything I needed. So for my come onto the exit board in grade 8, I had to work and ensure that I came to everything. I had to work and ensure that, you know, what I'm doing is seen by the exec and by our staff advisors. So, you know, it has instilled in me a very good work ethic that I know I will keep for my entire
life. Yes, I agree with Joanna, for real. This 4-H club is instilled within you a sense of responsibility. So I strongly agree with her.
Yeah, I like that. I like how it kind of correlates with just life in general. Learn lessons so that you can go out and use them. I really like that. All right. So back to you now, host.
Okay. All right. So I've been listening to Kristan and Adriana, and it's one word that comes to mind: transformation. And I hear the transformation in our two youth ambassadors. Now, I know at this point, being youth ambassadors would now basically be the highest point of your 4-H career. But I'm going to start with Adriana, and then I'm going to shift to Kristan to tell me another memorable experience that you have had so far in 4-H. So Adriana, let's hear what that memorable experience has been for you.
Wow. I had to just quickly think of something in my life, because I've had many memorable experiences for you. But one experience for me that really, like, stands out is, you know, Mobe High is known, you know, 4-H Club is known for getting all the trophies, all the tops. We're not going to use the first in everything that we do. We're not going to get first place this parish, I think. So when last year, pre-achievement day, we went to Green Pond. And I was just there. I was waiting for my name to be called in Graft. And I was just there. I didn't really expect to come in any place, because I was going against people that were, you know, much older than me and person that have been to national. And I almost came down in here because I came first in the competition for the parish level. So, like, it really showed me that, you know, I have to work very hard for what I want. Because honestly, last year was so hard with grafting, because I had two of the plants and they died. I was about to give up. I literally told Mrs. Garib that, Miss, I'm going to pull out and something, because this is not going to make any sense. But I still held on, and I went the day and I got first. And the thing is, you know, I beat people that have been to national before and I've won or almost won. So, you know, that showed me that, you know, I think that's one of my most memorable experiences. I know, just to come home and see my school come home, all the first places and all the top in the parish. It brings me to tears sometimes when I think about it. Yeah.
Wow. Sounds like Mobe High is the standard bearer for 4-H in St. James. Yes. Kristan, what about you?
Well, Miss, I think there's a tie. A tie with the first.
Kristan really has a lot of series in the middle. So, all right. So let's hear what the tie is, and which one will be the tiebreaker.
Oh, yeah. So the most memorable moment in 4-H for me is the parade. When it comes on to the parade during 4-H week, Miss, you know, we have the excitement. We're marching the town of Savannah March, hearing on, saying our 4-H cheers. Who don't have a horn, have a pot cover, making noise all over Savannah March. That is my most memorable moment. Also, during the orientation of the first warm student, normally the clubs and societies are invited to come along and recruit new members. When it comes on to recruiting members, you know that 4-H club is the creme de la creme, because we always have our display out. We always ensure to have our brochures or banner and all of that. So, and also, as Rihanna was boasting that her school is probably the best in her parish in Westmoreland, I can probably say that Manning School is also one of the best as well. So, you know, we have our trophies and stuff. So we'll put up with trophy the master, you know, and we'll call the kids. And, you know, when once they see the trophies, they will be very excited to join. That was also fun as well.
All right. So it's all about trophies. It's all about being in the parades. It's all about coming on top over persons, you know, who you never thought you would have beaten. So trust me, it sounds as if Kristan and Adriana, they're having exciting times so far. We are listening to the first in the series of 4-H podcasts, Real Talk with 4-H. And we have as our guest, Kristen Chambers, Male Youth Ambassador for 2021, Drianna Hill, Female Youth Ambassador for 2021. And of course, I have my co-host, who is Topaz Barrett, herself a 4-H'er, who attends the, because I understand every school now have to say the Westwood High School in Trelawney. So Topaz, you have, this podcast is about the mix of serious issues and fun time. And we're going to look at some serious issues now and get from our youth ambassadors where they sit, where these serious issues are concerned. So Topaz, I'm going to throw over to you now. You have a question for both of them. So let's hear that.
So the question is, basically, from where you sit, what do you think are some of the issues affecting youth involved in agriculture? And how would you like to see that addressed? So which one of you want first?
I'll go first. So I believe one of the number one problems affecting youth in agriculture is a stigma that agriculture is just all about going into the soil, planting crops, tying out your goat at morning time and go for them in the evening or plucking a chicken. This agriculture does not entail farming only. There are a wide variety of career options within agriculture. And I believe that that should be one of the main priorities to inform the students or the members of the different career paths that can be taken within the agriculture sector. Also, time is developing. We have a change in demographics. We have the development of ICT. So I believe that we should try to implement technology within the agriculture sector just to draw the youth within the agriculture sector. Also, having youth within the agriculture sector, this will provide avenue to new and innovative. They would come with new and innovative way of how to carry out things within the agriculture sector.
Okay. Thank you. Drianna, can you answer that question?
Yes, I believe Kristen hit the nail on the head for me. I was going to say exactly the same thing. I believe that there's the stigma that, you know, that comes along with agriculture. I mean, most youth today, they think they want to see the good money that comes with high pay. And agriculture to them, traditional agriculture, is not seen as quote-unquote good money. So most of them will go into the sciences and IT, where the world is heading right now. So I think for us to educate, because most, like I can say from my school, we don't have agricultural topics or in the curriculum. So 4-H is the only outlet for us to learn about agriculture. So I think that's something that we need to change, you know, to get youth more versed in agriculture by putting it in the curriculum, because without agriculture, we can't literally the footprint to how our entire island works. We need food, and it starts from agriculture. And from who we can get different backgrounds to make different things. So I think it, and as you said too, as it's going on, it's coming up right now. You know, I always say different sectors in our culture, like the sciences and technology, can now be able to, you know, grab the attention of more youth. They're the ones that are going to be innovating right now. So we need them to innovate and make new ideas for us, you know, expand agriculture to know, like, bigger than what they think.
I get that a lot, to be honest. Like, I see it happening. Like a stereotype. They have a view of it a particular way, but when you deep, you realize it's more. And a lot of people turn away from it because of just the big thing. Going and planting stuff, growing and just so. But truly, there's a lot more. You guys have definitely highlighted that today. So, moving back to you, host, ask about another.
All right. So I really love those answers coming from Kristen and Drianna. And later down, we will hear exactly how they will tell you, the listeners, you, the youth, in terms of how you can get that stigma out of your head. I want to touch on a topic that is also real, even though there's still some out there who think that it isn't, and that is climate change. I mean, we can't get away from it. We see it happening all around us. But 4-H is the organization that helps youngsters learn about climate smart agricultural practices. So Kristen, Drianna, I just want to hear from you. What are some of the climate smart agricultural practices that you have learned during your experience in 4-H? Kristen, we're going to start with you.
So there are quite a few things or practices that we can implement in combating climate change. One practice is the use of organic fertilizer. Instead of the inorganic fertilizers, the organic fertilizers can be used, and this will reduce the amount of greenhouse gas being emitted in the atmosphere. Also, we can practice aquaponics and also hydroponics just to save up on the resources. And also, that will also assist with the greenhouse gas emission as well. You know that education is key in everything. So in order for us to combat climate change, we need to make the youth aware, we need to make the farmers aware of the right and proper techniques that they can use just to reduce the amount of greenhouse gases that has been emitted.
Okay, Andriana, what about you?
I was going to make a point, something close to what Kristen, droughts are longer. And I think if farmers can conserve more instead of wasting more water, I mean, we can have better crops coming up because, you know, when there's a drought, you have less crops and the food at the market gets very expensive to the point that, you know, we can't afford it. So even like the past month, my dad was getting like $100 a pound. And, you know, that was kind of crazy. So it's a thing that we need to think about and work on very quickly because climate change is never going to stay here. So it's time for us and the government to innovate and to work how to combat it, because we can't just wait until, climate change is not a thing. It's just, it's a joke. It's a real situation and we need to fix it right now.
And I'm sure you both recognize, you just mentioned drought a while ago, Adriana, but conversely, we're also seeing excessive flooding. As Jamaicans would say, a little teaspoon of rain and we flood out. How do you think that something like that will affect agriculture in general? Because I mean, and this is where the climate smart agricultural practices come in. Kristen, Adriana, how do you think that will work as well?
Honestly, just the sound of that can tell that that's not good. That's really not good. Not at all. So the slightest rainfall, that there's a flood, that will affect our farmers adversely. I think in order to correct this issue, we need to practice proper farming techniques such as contour farming, just to allow for the water to plant to have proper drainage. Also, another big thing that contributes to flooding is pollution. Something needs to be done about that.
Definitely. Pollution is a major problem. Brianna, what are your thoughts?
What Kristen said is very true. You see, even when Elsa, the Hurricane Elsa came past, Jamaica, I saw in the news that, Portland farmers, crops were washed out, everything was gone. So it's something that we need to really work on. And I concur with everything.
All right. So Topaz, it's back to you. Now we're going to look at something that both Duran and Kristen, they've been talking a lot about before, technology. So Paz, what do you have for them when it comes to technology and agriculture?
So for technology, we all know that technology has definitely been a whirlwind. We have been using technology for absolutely everything, up to education, just basic things we're using technology. So if we're going to make big change, it is most likely that we're going to need technology. So my question for you both, Diana, what role do you see technology play in the improvement of agricultural production?
Okay, so I think, with agriculture and close handling, especially with this ever-evolving world that we're in right now, I think technology and agriculture are the best way to go. With technology and agriculture, now you can be able to track your crop's progress, if they're on the right path in the growth process. And you can even, track how the pests that might be affecting the land that you're on. And, even more effective ways to plant crops. You have machines that can go out right now and, mechanically plant it in drone that can save you time. So I think that, technology is a way for agriculture right now, and it's for us to allow the youth of today to innovate with technology and to work with improve agriculture.
Thank you, Joanna.
I strongly agree with Joanna. That information and communication and information communication technology is on the rise, and we have to use what we have, what that is right, to fix what is wrong. So I believe ICT is very important for the improvement of agricultural technology. And as Joanna said, with the use of ICT, one can improve the productivity of a farm. This will in turn increase the GDP and the GNP of a nation. I know that agriculture is one of Jamaica's main source of foreign exchange. So with the implementation of ICT, I see us going forward, both in agriculture and also the economy on a whole.
Right. Thank you. These answers from Kristen and Adriana, I can see why they are our youth ambassadors. And of course, our listeners and 4-H in general, they're going to be expecting a lot from you both. Now, even though our podcast, Real Talk with 4-H, is about 4-H, we also want to look at general issues affecting youth, and one which we can't escape because, unfortunately, we hear about it all the time. And we're talking about crime and violence and the abuse that your fellow youth are getting from adults, fellow youth, etc. How do you guys feel about that? I mean, as young people and hearing all this happening to your fellow young people, how do you guys feel about that?
It's very sad because, you know, with this COVID, before school was an escape for some youth right now. You know, you ate all that school, that 8 hours could save your life. Some people, school was their escape from what they had to deal with at home and in their community. But now since they're at home, you know, all these crime rates have gone up, especially when it comes down to like abuse and stuff around youth. So it's very alarming and so sad to see that we're at a point where we have to be, as you have to be scared of how we're, you know, how if you're going to make it through the next night, you know, without getting a beating or, you know, just, you know, mistreatment from anybody in your home or community. Very sad.
Kristen, how does this affect you?
As the Jamaicans would say, you take it right out of my mouth, Brenna. You know, that school would have been the escape for some students, but because of this COVID-19 pandemic, you know, we're home, you know, that abuse is on the rise, crime and violence is on the rise. And in regards to crime and violence, I strongly believe that if we get the youths engaged within agriculture, this will kind of indirectly reduce the crime level, because guess what? They will, the persons that are involved in crime and violence, most of them, they are unemployed. So with them being involved in agriculture, they will have something productive to do. So they won't have any time to do any foolishness. So, yeah, that's my take on it.
Now, those are very interesting answers. And you just made a recommendation, Kristen. Adriana, what about you? What would you say to young people listening out there? Because you both said something very interesting. School is an escape for you guys. When you go to school and you're there for the 8 hours, whatever issues that may be affecting you at home, you at least get away from it for that period of time. You guys seem to be managing. But what about those out there who are listening and they're having these challenges and they may not be doing as well as you? What would you say to them?
There are many outlets, you know, outside of the home that are made available for you to be helped. It's you know, it's very sad, you know, me having to say this right now, because your home should be a place of safety, and to have been to be going outside the home right now seeking help, let's say from a guidance counselor or a trusted teacher, it's something that, you know, you wouldn't expect to do. But if you're caught in a situation that, you know, that you need help and you fear for your life, I believe that you need help from one of those outside organizations that are made for you. Reach out and seek help for like domestic violence or abuse in the home. And you feel like you need to talk to somebody, talk to a trusted family member or a trusted teacher or a guidance counselor that can help.
I strongly agree with Gianna. Try to reach out to somebody. They always say silence is violence, right? So I believe I could not even just go on your pill, like a call 119 or so. Talk to somebody and report the issue, because I know that you might regret it later down. So I believe that the first thing you should do, Do not even think about it. Just report the issue.
That's great advice coming from our youth ambassadors. And just to also let persons know too, that some of our parish managers, some of our 4-H parish managers, they themselves are also trained in guidance and counseling. So our 4-H parish managers are also there for you too. Topaz, back to you.
Okay, thank you. Your response is everyone. Both of you. Okay, so this is basically the last question in terms of like this. So the question is, the COVID-19 pandemic has been going on for over a year. How has it affected your daily life?
Well, COVID-19, you know, we had to adjust. It just came up on a sudden. It has thrown us into a vastly digitized world. We had to, who knew that we would have to attend classes online? Nobody thought of that. So with the COVID-19 pandemic, I think this pandemic has really taught us how to be creative, how to adjust. So, but not everybody about it like this, like that. This COVID-19 pandemic has affected some persons mentally, and mental health is also a very serious issue currently in the world, I must say. So the COVID-19, it has its positive and has its negative, but we just have to try and see how best can we cooperate and adjust to the new norm.
Thanks, Brianna.
I have the same views as Kristen. I think we were basically thrown in. I was in grade 8 when this whole thing started, and I'm going to grade 10. It has only been a year and like a month, but it's like an eternity, because I've been at like from last year, last year, March 11th. From that day, I've been at home. I hardly go out. I can count on my fingers and my toes the amount of times I've been able to go out, you know, but I haven't seen any of my friends last. But I think it has helped me, you know, have more faith in God, trust Him more, because honestly, you can't go through this thing by yourself. So it allows you to think less of yourself and more of others, because now more of your classmates are, you know, having problems with, let's say, devices and, you know, mental health, as Kristen said. And it's something I want to talk about more often. Because, you know, in Jamaica, it's seen as a thing like, okay, you're just going mad or something. It's not taken seriously. And it's just a culture. I think it's a culture we need to change, because mental health is a real illness and it's real serious. It's not for us to abuse it and to say, okay, because I'm feeling sad, I'm going to stay sad forever and say I have mental illness. I think COVID has taught us how to stand together. I didn't have a device last. First off, I had to be on my phone, and I got my device like sometime in the year, so it was kind of a new change. I've never done a whole year online. I mean, even though my grades were good, I lost the connection I had with Black learning. So sometimes I didn't even feel like doing any work. I didn't feel like coming to school. Sometimes I just felt like staying in bed and just not going to school. But you know, we had to do it.
Okay, so how would you describe it? Bittersweet or more bitter?
Bittersweet. I mean, I had some fun over this, you know, time. I mean, staying at home was the worst part of it. I mean, having nothing to do. I find myself just sitting down and just having nothing to do. And there's so much stuff I could do around the house or something, but I just have no energy to put out to do anything.
Thank you. Back to you, host. And now we're going to
be having... Okay. Wow, those are some deep answers. We know that people are being affected by COVID in one way or the other. But to hear it from our young people as deep as this, it really causes you to think and to realize that we have to take this thing seriously, mental health, because we really see it playing out in society. We see it playing out adults, youth. As Brianna said, you know, you just really have to draw on your faith in God. And even for those who, for one reason or the other, may not believe in God, but at least draw on something that gives you strength and gives you hope. Now, we just got deep with our youth ambassadors, but guess what? Now it's time to have some fun with them. And Brianna, Kristen, I hope you're ready for this segment. Now, we call this segment 5 Fast Facts. So you guys are going to have to literally think on your feet. Now, clearly you would not have heard these questions. They're not very hard questions, easy questions, but it's just to see how quick you answer them. And what are the answers that you have? So, Drianna, I'm going to start with you. 5 easy questions. All right. So, you ready, Drianna?
I'm ready, miss. I'm ready.
Okay, great. So, first question for you. What's your favorite fruit?
Oh, I think banana.
Why banana?
Many people might not like it for like how soft it is, but I think it's a very neutral fruit. It kind of reminds me of myself. I mean, like, people underestimate how, you know, how nice it can be and how, you know, beneficial it can be. But, you know, I think, you know, a banana kind of embodies me, I guess.
Okay. So next question for you. What's the last thing that you read? Whether it's a book, a magazine, a school text, whatever. What's the last thing that you read?
I was looking through my bookcase the other day. Found a book my sister won National Reading. And I don't remember what it was about, a book that got lost in Forest, Dominica. And it was written by, I remember the name of Forest Fever. The book was Forest Fever. He was taken in by these Rastafarian.
Okay. Tell me which Jamaican celebrity who you would like to meet.
Wow. Ever since I was a little girl, I've always wanted to go.
Yeah. All right. Where do you want to meet, you say?
I mean, look at all the accomplishments. Mm-hmm. I would just, you see, if I was like a few meters away from him, I wouldn't be able to like his face. I would just be so happy. Just being able to be in his presence, you know, it's kind okay. of, yeah.
All right. So we hope when this podcast gets out, you're saying he's listening. All right. What's your favorite expression?
Oh my God.
That could be it.
I'm trying to remember because yes, I'm very expressive.
Okay.
Yeah, it just depends on
the situation. All right. Yeah. And the last one for you. What's your best advice that you would give the Minister of Agriculture?
Wow. The honorable a lot, right? But I would just encourage him to keep on going because mm-hmm. it's not an easy trip because you know, to encourage youth to do something that they don't think is, you know, I guess profitable as a career. I mean, it's very hard. But what he's mm-hmm. doing right now for us is very good, honest to God, because not many people will, you know, get up and say, okay, I want to be a farmer when I grow. But he's going to encourage you. I want to continue to motivate him to continue to do what he's doing for us. We are the future because when they're long gone, we're the ones that are going to continue what they left off. So what he's doing is very important. I want to say thank you.
All right. And I'm sure the minister, when he hears this, he will say you're welcome. All right. So, Kristen, you were able to kind of get yourself seasoned. So it's your turn now. Thanks, Brianna. Kristen, what's your favorite fruit?
My favorite fruit is star apple.
Star apple. Okay. What's so special about star apple?
Honestly, it just tastes so nice. I got to be realistic.
All right. So what about you, Noah? What's the last thing that you read?
I think the last thing I read was something on the Jamaica Observer about the Olympic team and the persons moving on to the semifinals.
That would have been the same.
Yes.
All right. Which Jamaican celebrity would you most like to meet?
I'd say Terrell Reed. Okay. Reason for this.
Oh, Terrell. Okay.
Right. You know, has a great personality, pure positive vibes, you know. So that's the reason why I would want to meet her.
Wonderful. And what's your favorite expression?
Expression.
Mm-hmm. You don't have a favorite?
I don't think so. I don't really have a favorite expression.
But one expression that you use a couple of times? No?
I don't know. Normally, my friend normally says like, everything they say afterwards. I normally say afterwards. I don't know.
Okay. All right. And for you now. What would be your best advice that you would give our Minister of Agriculture and Fisheries, Honorable Floyd?
My advice is continue to do the great job that you are doing. I realize that really has his people's interest at heart, so I want him to continue to do that.
Okay, great. All right, so there you have it, folks. That was 5 Fast Facts with our Youth Ambassadors, and you could see that we really caught them unaware, you know, they had to really think. So that was our fun session with our ambassadors. All right, so tell you, you know, on Real Talk with 4-H, we talk about real issues in agriculture, but at the same time, we also have some fun, you know, because you have to kind of get a little on the lighter side as well. So right now, just before we get into our final segment, I just want to find out quickly from both Kristen and Adriana. Kristen, how old are you?
I'm currently 18 years old.
You're 18. And Adriana, how old are you?
I am currently 15 years old, turning.
Okay, all right. So you see, there really are youth ambassadors indeed. So listeners, it's now time for what we call our last lick segment. And for this last lick segment, we're going to ask both Kristen and Adriana to talk to the youth out there, to not only to encourage them to become members of the Jamaica 4-H clubs, but also to encourage them to get involved in agriculture or agricultural related careers. So, Adriana, I'm going to start with you.
You know, I had to think about this question, this is what I would say to the youth out there. I would tell anyone and everyone to join, like personally, because of the unique experiences that, you know, you get to see, and the hands-on practice, the interesting theory that we get to learn at these workshops, the trip that we get to go on, especially Dendi that we get to go to every year. We get to see a lot of stuff, a lot of different booths that we get to learn from different schools about what they did and how they, you know, different competitions that they entered and how they won and stuff like that. I think we can also, I want to encourage you also to search all the different, you know, careers that are in our culture, because they can help people that are not sure about, you know, what they want to do when they grow up. So I think 4-H and agriculture can lead you right to the right career path you want to go in. That's what I would say to anybody right now. Because 4-H, you know, as I said a while ago, if you're not sure what you want to do when you grow up, I mean, and you join a 4-H club and you all that you can get them via different workshops, you can get to understand, you know, and also 4-H, and you can get to have a love for the club and agriculture itself. And from there, if you're not thinking about being a farm, very important. So you can think about ways to help agriculture, you know, by being, let's say, an agricultural scientist. So there are many different things that you can do in agriculture, and 4-H is the way to go if you want to learn these career paths. Thank you.
Hey, Kristen, your time. Over to you, Kristen.
I would encourage everybody to become a part of Jamaica's leading youth organization, the 4-H Club. Wherever I go, I will always say this. The 4-H Club will instill within you some skills that they aren't possible to learn within the classrooms. And you know that once you have a skill that will forever be a part of you, that will never depart your cranium, that can assist you to impact yourself, impact your family, impact your club, your community, your country, and also the world at large. Also, I'd encourage you guys to think about career options within the agricultural field. As I said before, agriculture, it is one of our main source of foreign exchange, and this also assists with the development of the economy. You know that in everything we do, food is a must. And also there's a plethora of active career options and also opportunities in the agriculture sector. You don't have to be a doctor or a lawyer to impact someone's lives. There are careers in agriculture that you can delve in and leave an impact. Can become a food scientist. Agriculture can also venture into agriculture engineer, which is also very important. As you know that sometimes the crop yield might not be so well. You know, we can implement the use of genetic engineering to improve the yield. So I implore each and every one of you to become a part of 4-H. And also think about career options. Think about agriculture for a future career.
Hey, and I also want to put in this that, you know, even most, you know, most people at this time, you know, at my age, most likely, they have an idea of what they want. But you know, even if you're going to have a little side job, a little hustle, you know, like make it be agriculture, because you can earn a lot of money if you decide what you want to do and do it properly when you're in agriculture.
All right. So that's the last lick from our youth ambassadors. And I don't think you want it any better than that. 4-H is the place where you learn the skills that you may not likely learn in the classroom. And 4-H and agriculture, whether it is your main career or your side job, it is the way to go. And it is one of the best ways to earn a solid income. So there you have it, folks. This brings us to the end of today's podcast. I want to say thanks to my co-host, Topaz Barrett, who did a great job in sharing hosting duties. Topaz, how was it for you?
Okay, so for me, speaking honest, at the beginning, it was a little bit like I was having anxiety. Not an anxiety, but just a little bit anxiety. I was kind of just anticipating what's going to happen, you know, because we're not, I never done a podcast. Most of you can say the same. So it was kind of different for me, and it was just kind of slightly adjusting to how. But surprisingly, it was pretty chill. You could say it was smooth, everything was fine. I enjoyed the game, and the responses were great. It's a coward, I must say. And it was just been really, really nice. And I'm very much looking forward to being a part of this podcast.
Right. Thank you very much, Topaz. And it was my pleasure having you. So we also want to say thanks to our technical team at the Jamaica 4-H Club for facilitating today's broadcast, Dean Collins, and of course, our hardworking liaison officer within the volunteer secretariat at the Jamaica 4-H Clubs, Ms. Nikisha Gibbs. And of course, we want to hear from you. We want to hear, get your feedback in terms of what you thought of this first episode and what else you want to hear, what you thought about the host, what you thought about our guest. And you can send us your feedback to volunteer secretariat at Jamaica 4-H Clubs. So you can do that via email at volunteer secretariat at Jamaica 4-H Clubs. But also, don't forget to follow us on our social media platforms. And that's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, as well as on YouTube at Clover TV. And of course, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, you can also, when you hear this podcast, you can also leave your comments there. And you can catch this podcast. We're going to be launching it in a big way. So you can listen out for when we launch it and we will upload this episode for you. You can catch it on our social media platforms, at our website, which is www.JamaicaForHClubs, and via the Anchor podcast platform. And before I go, I just want to leave you with this quote. Believe you can, and you are halfway there. So thanks again for joining us. Again, it was my pleasure. Carol McCormack and Topaz Barrett with our youth ambassadors, Kristen Chambers and Rihanna Hill. Take care and walk.